Pass podcast. We're in the middle of the May, and it's been a long time since we've joined you on this podcast, but I am joined in Suva, Fiji, by the one and only Scott Razor Robertson. Razor Ray, coach of the Crusaders, 11-0. Talk me through that start to the season.
I'd like to say it's planned, but the 11-0, if you look at every game in context, it's been off the back of a lot of adversity, I suppose, with injuries coming from behind. We didn't have a lot of rhythm in our game early for a number of reasons, but we found a way, and obviously got us quite tight, and then we got in a good roll, and the results, the draw, the way how it's worked out, getting away through a couple of local derbies, and then obviously probably coming to one of our best performances of the year, which was against the Hurricanes at home. So all in context, it's been great to now, but like I say to everyone, everyone remembers the last game you played, not the first 11, so that's what we're building to.
Let's go back before the season even started, and you'd had a great playing career, which most people are aware of. You parlayed into coaching, first at Sumner and club rugby in Christchurch, and then into Canterbury, where you enjoyed some title success there. New Zealand under-20s as well, winning a world championship. And then the Crusaders job came along, a team that you'd had a great history with. Were there nerves for you taking on a job of this magnitude in a career that is still, by world coaching standards, very youthful and young?
I suppose 42 is for long, young, as long as my wife says that as well, I'm happy. But for me, look, when I took my interview, I said to the board and the panel, interview panel, you know me. So you go and ask the players if I'm the right person, and if the players want me, great. If they don't, I'm not, because I played for them. Look, I've coached next door, for Canterbury for a long period of time. I've got a personal relationship with all of them. So
you technically put the players in charge of your appointment.
Well, I asked them. It was more indicative to see if they wanted me. I think the interval panel knew what I could bring. Obviously, I had fortunate to have a bit of success as a coach and building teams, but then it was that next step up, and to get the trust in the players was really important, and that was my way of saying to them and ask them, because they know there's no secrets here, and that gave me a lot of confidence coming into my first year, because it basically said to me, yeah, the players are they're in, and then it was about me getting my coaching staff and my management group right.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about that before we talk about your own personal coaching philosophies, because so many young coaches would look around and find a true veteran of the coaching world to come and help them out. And we've seen that through other franchises. You didn't. You picked Jace Ryan. You picked Leon McDonald. You picked Brad Moore. It's got to be one of the youngest coaching groups in Super Rugby, if not the youngest coaching group. Why was it important to you to take on those guys, and what were the qualities that you saw in them that they could add to this team?
Look, I'll start with the coaching group and then I'll go into the management group, because I think it's really important. The whole group's really important. Officially, I'd coach with Leon, and he's world class. So even as young of age, but old in wisdom, and his delivery is incredible. I had a lot of success with him. Obviously, in New Zealand under-20s, and he's a good mate, and trust him. And Jason Ryan, other than being a quality human or canine, he's bloody good at his job and worked really, really hard and got amazing trust and a connection with the players. He's got a good mentor with Mike Cron, and he was ready. And to be fair, there's not many out there, set piece scrum and line-out experts, and he was right there, so I didn't have to look too far. And then Brad Moore was on the current staff, and I wanted a bit of continuity, and he's a very astute man, so he brings a lot to the on and off the field. His background and risk management and as a lawyer is incredible. You know, like the way he processes is a bit different to everyone else, and he's always looking, like good lawyers do, the potential risk. So I ask lots of questions, and I'm used to that now. But and the other thing, the second part to it is the management group in general. It's the biggest change in Crusaders history since 1996. So we had a number of staff. I think it was six new staff in the background, from manager, S&C, S&C assistants. Who else do we have? You know, general manager rugby, Angus Gardner, and PDM. So there's a big, and a number of others. So it's a lot of change, and I was fortunate to come in with a real clear vision of what I would have liked, and I managed to have completed that till now.
Well, let's talk about what you like, because we've followed your career and followed your teams, and one thing that is similar with every team you seem to be involved in is that everyone's having fun.
Yeah.
There's a massive amount of energy, and that's not to say there's not similar energy in other teams, but with you in particular, I've never seen a kid with a frown on his face when you walk past. I've never seen you low on energy. Is that fundamentally what you're about as a coach, the guy who's up all the time?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of my personality rubbing off. That's what the boys say. But I think it's really important. And my dad gave me a bit of advice. He said, when I first came down to Canterbury and the Crusaders, was be yourself. And I've continued to do that. And also, I'm making sure other people do the same. I'm not big on fair ruling. I want to make sure that we enjoy it, we have fun, and people want to come to work to engage, to be better. You know, so that's through a lot of things. I always theme my campaigns, always make sure we connect as a group every day in a different way. These are part of the day that's just dedicated not to rugby. It's about having fun, and we have mini group challenges. We have sing-offs, we have, you know, food challenges. Look, it's endless how you can have fun, but the boys want to come along and make sure that there's something today that's they're going to connect with. The other thing is, I'm really big on families being involved and understanding what we do, how we do it, when we do it, and what we're about. So the integration of the player, if you're playing for us, your family's with us as well, and that includes the kids. And you know, I put myself knowing all their names, and making sure they come in, and we have inductions of players, and we also have inductions of partners and families into our group, so when they go home, they understand what we're going through, and I think all those things and a lot of the combinations end up creating an atmosphere and culture that people want to be a part of.
We go back a fair way since you finished your playing career and did some work with us at Sky, and I think I always said to you then, you're like Peter Pan, and nothing's really changed. Do you think one of the strengths that you have, because I certainly do as an outsider looking at your team and watching your career blossom, but that people underestimate you? You look like the surfy boy from Mount Maunganui. You talk in a very distinct way. You have a very distinct manner, which is probably not as conservative as a lot of coaches. Yeah. Do you think that people look at you sometimes and they just underestimate how clever you are as a coach?
Oh, look, honestly, people have just started saying that to me recently. I think, obviously, the super role is a lot more public and there's a little bit more about me as a person, so people are sort of starting to question it now. Look, and I'm starting to question people asking me that question. And I say that honestly, I start to think, hence I say, you know, about, you know, my philosophy is just be myself, and people trust me and want to, you know, end up wanting to play. You know, like, not many players have left and since I've contracted them. That's makes me really proud. It's a good sign. But do people underestimate me? Maybe not now.
I wouldn't think so. We spoke after the game last Saturday, after the Hurricanes game, and we were standing outside your shed there, and we talked about a couple of guys in particular, and the names that kept coming up were the young guys, the likes of George Bridge, Quentin Strange, Jack Goodhue. I would put it to you that over a long period of time, the Crusaders have had some very tall trees, and tall trees cast very big shadows. You seem to have kept a lot of the veterans, but made sure that the canopy is clear and that these guys have room to grow. I think, would I be on pretty safe ground if I said that's been a driver of yours from day one?
Oh, look, great metaphor. The metaphor, analogy?
Well, you can have it.
Yeah, both of them, that's outstanding. It's twofold how that's happened. Like, through injuries, guys have had opportunities and performed. And then, you know, just the structure and how it's worked out with our coaching group and the handover from last year to this year, the way it's worked out. A lot of the 20s boys that I coached have come through and performed. So all the guys you mentioned, even a David Haverley was in the 20s, so I had a connection with them and a lot of trust. So through circumstances, they've had the opportunity to come through. And I don't often get grumpy, but I suppose that's the right term. Well, I don't often get... grumpy around things unless people are preparing the best they possibly can and helping them prepare the best they can. And I think I'm something I'm really proud of as a Crusaders, that guys that have worn the jersey before prepare the next guy as if they were in that jersey as well, and the handing down of the knowledge, the information, the tidbits, and how much they care makes me really proud. These guys take it as a whole and a real honour to hand down that information.
But also, you've got to earn that jersey. Yeah. One of the things about this team that I think has sustained its success over a long period of time is that the Corey Flynn was never going to give his jersey to a Ben Fennell. Fennell had to earn that jersey, and a Wyatt Crockett was never going to give his jersey to a Joe Moody. So while they all get on, there's always that concept of earning that start, earning your time in the jumper.
Yeah, and giving them every chance to succeed when you get that opportunity to go out there, so you're not setting them up to fail in any way. It's to set them up to prepare, and look, we train hard. I'm really clear on my weeks, how my week structure is, my delivery. I got a lot better personally as and how I explain things and teach, and that was one of my biggest work on my area. I'm a creative guy, so I had a few ideas in my head, and how to get that across to a player has been a big thing for me. Now I've got better. I think that helps the group. But I've also put a lot of work into the leadership, and obviously Sam Whitelock's been incredible for us, and a lot of the other leaders as well. But making sure that I've got a good relationship with them, so they drive it internally.
Was that intentional to look at someone like Sam Whitelock, someone who... I'm not saying this would happen, but would be at risk of saying it's more important to me to be playing for the All Blacks than it is for the Crusaders. To give someone the leadership role that you have like that in this team, does that give you some assurance that he is going to put this team first always?
Oh, really clearly to me, that's why we made him the captain, and like his other couple of brothers that I've had as captains. Look, I know the Whitelock way. Had a lot of success with them. Mm-hmm. And... I was really clear that our relationship it was really important, and then like he jumped at it, so that was the first thing that was really important. And he's a really proud Crusader, firstly, and an extremely proud All Black as well. So whatever campaign it is, he'll deliver. And it's a different voice. Rito's been superb off the field. The balance of our leadership as group is right. And we can be better in a lot of ways, and they continue to keep pushing themselves, so it's superb.
Do you find that the reaction to this team has changed in any way over the years, or is it always just business as usual with the Crusaders? The boys will play a certain way, they'll carry themselves in a certain fashion, the fans will support them in a certain way?
Oh, look, there's the Crusader values that have been there forever. I think I remember in 96, I was an original Crusader and we came last. And I remember all the things that went wrong. And I was fortunate to be very successful after that and being everything that was right, you know, going 3-0. So those things have stood the test of time, which I'm really proud of. But I think it's really important when you come into, as a coach or a new environment, you add what you're about and keep what's good. And I think one thing is that people like, with the Crusaders have always identified us as good men, and people are going to work really hard and care. And, you know, filling a stadium is there's no better way to realise that they know we care because they're paying. They're right. Coming along and they want to watch us play, and it means they care as well.
You're a lot of fun to be around. Yeah. You're known for your breakdancing after victories and planting flags in the middle of someone else's field and all of those things that have gone along with your career. But underneath all of that, underneath the jocularity and the laughs and the up and the energy, talking to your boys, as you do sometimes behind your back, Race, they said you're brutally honest with them. Yeah. Is that important to you as well, to balance that up? If a guy is not bringing the energy, if a guy is not working hard enough, you've got to tell him.
There's different forms of honesty, you know, and different.
Oh, there are. This is good to know.
And there's different forms of truth, you know. And you've got to. I think you've got to know your player to talk about the different forms of honesty and what they need to hear at that period of time. And I think that's something I'm really good at. But I'm doing it for them to be better. So I tell them I love them and then tell them that they need to be better at this. And I think they get it and they're clear and they like that. They don't want to be dropped or hear secondhand or it's just not clear to them. So.
But it gives you freedom as well, doesn't it? You can go on the media and you can say we didn't front here, we played badly here, knowing full well that you're also going to tell the player that, or you already have. So there's absolutely no double standard on your part.
No, I don't think so. Like that's what I stand up and always say to my group. And there's no, if you've got an issue, you got to whinge up. So no whinging down. If there's an issue, it's my problem as a leader. I solve issues because it becomes my problem and I can get a solution for it. And no whinging down, because if you whinge down, it ends up being a spiral effect. If you've got an issue, come to someone above you, if it's your captain or your a confidant, and then they end up coming to me, I can help them. But if you don't tell me, I can't help, and that's when you know, you get a team environment where people don't have that trust. So if people are telling you that, it means there's a lot of trust, which is great.
Yeah, there is a lot of trust. So I think it's a word that really suits you as a coach and certainly the team at the moment, because as we mentioned at the start of the podcast today, through injury or otherwise, guys have been given a chance. And Wyatt Crockett on 100,000 games for the Crusaders, he's quite happy to see a David Harvillia, a George Bridge, a Quentin Strange, whoever's out there, he's loving what they're doing. I mean, that to me is the ultimate in trust, when a guy who's been around 12 years backs a guy who's been around one to go out there and do the job.
Yeah, and the integration of it, it's something that's been handed down. It's sort of like that family, the old man on the rocking chair telling all the stories about, you know, how life and how this works around here, and come on, son, this is it, this is how it's done, and it's probably the perfect person to do it is Wyatt Crockett. But they're proud because that guy has done well, like I said earlier on, prepared him to perform and play well. And then that's an environment that you're proud of and people see.
Finally, and I want to take you to a parallel universe.
Yeah.
One in which you're 0-11 at this stage of the season, which would be a very different mindset.
Yeah.
How would you cope as a coach, and especially as a young coach in his first year, if you were at a very different point at the same time of the season?
Wow, this is real deep.
That is deep, sorry.
Yeah, there's a different parallel, a different universe. I'm not sure. At the start of the year, we sat down as coaches and we shared how we deal with pressure, what's our type. For me, I still really, really put an emphasis on trusting people so I don't become all-encompassing and take over and become the dictator. It's not my style. I can at times when things need to be done, I will. There's no doubt about that.
Mm.
But I'd still like to think all my players, if it wasn't that, I would still say I'm honest. I'm still say I'm, oh, you're coming in, we're having fun. Because if they don't want to come in and they don't want to have fun and they're not enjoying it, we're not going to play well anyway. So I'd try and get back to what I know. Look, one fortunate thing, I've been at a lot of teams that have had a lot of success, so I understand what it feels like. So I wouldn't be living in Aotearoa 11 for a starter.
I thought you were going to say that because you're of a certain type of mind. You would refuse to be there. You wouldn't let yourself be there.
Nah, not at all. Generally, a lot to get wrong. Probably heaps of stuff that was out of your control. And then if it was out of your control, you just put it in context and try and move on and create the next opportunity for yourself to move forward as a group. Yeah.
What's most important to you, wins or being liked?
That's a good question. Like, you mean liked as a person by people? Look, I've never really thought about that way. I pretend to perform. If people like me doing it, great. If they don't, It's them, not me. I don't know if that answers your question, but can I be liked and win?
Well, I think you're succeeding in both those things at the moment. Scotty Robertson, coach of the Crusaders, thanks for joining us on the Rugby Pass podcast. Don't forget all the coverage, all the action, all the sport, all the rugby you can handle on rugbypass.com. Catch you next week.